para que la derecha, esa derecha terrorista, esa derecha que es fascista, que lo ha demostrado, que está implicada en golpes de Estado, que ha asesinado a dirigentes políticos, que tiene una persecución selectiva de dirigentes, pues entonces tenga un mayor, digamos, una mayor voz. El presidente Nicolás Maduro recientemente ha denunciado los planes de la derecha golpista financiando a jóvenes, ¿verdad?, pagándoles alta suma de dinero para que hagan destrozos. Y los destrozos están a la vista de todo el mundo. Eso no es un falso positivo, eso no es un montaje. Han quemado bibliotecas como los nazis. Han intentado quemar y han quemado preescolares con niños adentro que han tenido que ser sacados de emergencia por los bomberos. Han quemado autobuses que la misma población utiliza para su propio beneficio. Se han metido en CDI, es decir, en espacios donde se atiende la salud del pueblo. Han saqueado licorerías para mostrar al mundo que en Venezuela hay una gran crisis. Es decir, han cometido actos vandálicos que la mayor parte de la población, incluso población de derecha, honesta, que no está de acuerdo con ellos, por supuesto ha calificado como hechos de violencia que no van a compartir. Y probablemente por eso es que el día de hoy la derecha pensaba movilizar mucha más gente y no pudo movilizar a la gente porque mucha de la gente de derecha no está dispuesta a fotografiarse y a retratarse con estos apátridas, estos terroristas. Entonces, en las últimas horas han querido también generar focos de violencia puntualizados, localizados en algunos espacios porque están frustrados, están muy frustrados. Y a pesar de la frustración, a pesar de que le hemos demostrado que somos la mayoría del pueblo que quiere paz, entonces salen sus pseudo dirigentes como Capriles para continuar llamando a la gente a que salga a la calle. Nosotros queremos vivir en paz, el venezolano quiere trabajar, queremos disfrutar con nuestra familia, queremos resolver nuestro problema y estamos hartos y hartas. Y tanto es el que estamos hartos y hartas que ya estamos demostrando esa situación, ese sentimiento en contra de la derecha, y nosotros hemos salido el día de hoy a demostrarles que no vamos a permitir que nos sigan saboteando nuestra tranquilidad.
Estás escuchando el Informativo Pacífica.
También puedes escuchar estas y otras ediciones del Informativo Pacífica en nuestro blog, pueblosinfronteras.wordpress.com.
No envidiaba la presidencial.
A 10 meses de la masacre de Nochistlán en México, siguen sin recibir justicia las familias de 8 jóvenes asesinados por la policía y los más de 100 heridos, informa Norma Martínez.
Entre los cerros reposa mi adorado Nochistlán. Déjame escribirte un verso que mis nietos contarán, que silbarán los jilgueros y que cantará el faisán. Tuya es la tierra, mi ceja, de la cual eres guardián. Tienes la fuerza del monte y la furia del huracán. Hijas e hijos guerreros que pelearon.
Al cumplirse 10 meses del asesinato de 8 jóvenes durante la violenta incursión de 850 policías al poblado oaxaqueño de Asunción Ochixtlán, ni un solo responsable material e intelectual se encuentra preso o destituido. El miércoles por la mañana se realizó en Ochixtlán una ceremonia en memoria de los 8 jóvenes masacrados el 19 de junio del 2016, cuando policías federales y estatales ingresaron al poblado mixteco para remover un bloqueo carretero que maestros de la sección 22 habían levantado como parte de su protesta contra la reforma educativa. Hace 10 meses los policías abrieron fuego contra la población, que respondió al repique de las campanas de la iglesia para alertar de la represión y los primeros heridos. Los mochixtlecos se defendieron con palos, piedras y cuetones en ese desigual enfrentamiento que dejó más de 100 heridos de bala. Juan José Acevedo Martínez, de 23 años de edad, acudió en defensa de sus hermanos, dice.
Por desgracia, una víctima más del 19 de junio aquí de la represión que vino a ser la Policía Federal, Policía Estatal, Gendarmería aquí en Ochixtlán, en donde pues a ciertas horas de la mañana, muy temprano, 7:30, me percato que algún repique de campanas muy fuerte, algo que no es muy natural en la comunidad. Me percato, salgo de mi casa, salgo hacia las calles, ya me encuentro con mucha gente alarmada que se encontraban retirando el bloqueo que mantenía la sección 22, un bloqueo que era pacíficamente. Me acerco a lo que es a la altura del panteón, ahí ya los policías pues venían agrediendo muy fuerte con gas lacrimógeno, eran los impactos muy directos. Yo alrededor de las 9:30 de la mañana, entre 9:30 y 10 de la mañana, recibo un impacto de bala, el cual me pega detrás del oído izquierdo, en donde sale lo que es la bala. Y pues lo que me provoca una fractura del maxilar, lo que es todo el maxilar inferior en el lado izquierdo, el cual me provoca pues pérdida de molares y movilización completa total de mi boca, el cual pues por 3 meses, prácticamente 2.5 a 3 meses, no pude ingerir alimentos sólidos.
No solo las autoridades no han entrevistado a los sobrevivientes y testigos de la masacre ni visitado el lugar de los hechos, y en las últimas semanas los atentados e intimidaciones contra ellos han aumentado al grado de que solicitaron a la Comisión Interamericana de Derechos Humanos que emita medidas cautelares para su protección. Santiago Ambrosio es presidente del Comité de Víctimas por Justicia y Verdad en Nochixtlán.
Es constante, ¿no? Hemos tenido agresiones ya disparándole a los compañeros de manera directa en las barricadas, compañeros que, un compañero que estaba haciendo una compra en la noche ya que salimos de una reunión, él estaba comprando hamburguesas, llegaron con pistola en mano y hoy sí que le sacaron la pistola, se la enseñaron, lo intimidaron al compañero. Hay compañeros que han sido amenazados aquí en esta plaza del municipio por parte de lo que es el cabildo, ¿no? De lo que es el cabildo hemos tenido esas amenazas de muerte directamente a los compañeros. Hemos tenido también de la misma manera a donde le han ido a pintarrajear la casa a los compañeros. Hemos tenido también a donde ha habido amenazas directas vía telefónica, ¿no?
Ambrosio Hernández, quien hace una semana sobrevivió a un atentado contra su vida, dice que además de la falta de justicia para los 8 fallecidos, varios de los heridos han perdido brazos y piernas porque no han recibido atención adecuada.
Del total de las víctimas tenemos a 8 compañeros totalmente en una crisis bastante crítica. Hay compañeros que ya perdieron la pierna, compañeros que perdieron el brazo, movilidad, en ese sentido no se les pudieron salvar, no dieron las atenciones adecuadas, no les daban rehabilitación y medicamentos. Son muy costosas. Entonces tenemos a un compañero en Tlaxiaco, tenemos aquí a 7 compañeros, ¿no? Y indiferentemente de los demás que siguen ahí, pero que ellos, las secuelas son bastante graves, ¿no? Que los compañeros no están recibiendo ayuda. Nosotros hemos retirado el asunto de la atención médica porque simple y sencillamente nada más los estaban ocupando para estar diciendo al gobierno federal los estamos atendiendo, pero en la vía de la práctica no le daban medicamento, lo que les correspondía no se lo estuvieron dando. Entonces no tenía caso seguir con ellos, ¿no? Incluso el gobierno estatal, en una mesa, nosotros tenemos las actas donde se firman por parte de la Defensoría, por parte de Comisión Estatal de Atención a Víctimas y Comisión Nacional de Derechos Humanos, a donde la representante de salud en el Estado dijo que era incompetente el Estado para estarle dando atención a las víctimas de Nochixtlán porque había intereses de terceras personas muy grandes y intereses políticos. Esa acta está, ellos se deslindaron de esa manera. Entonces nosotros hemos decidido llevar otra ruta, rompimos relación con el subsecretario de Derechos Humanos, Campacifrián. Nosotros no vamos a sentarnos hasta que no podamos estar, primeramente, que nos los hagan por escrito y podamos estar avanzando con todas y cada una de las demandas que nosotros tenemos en ese sentido.
Más información y videos sobre Nochixtlán pueden ser vistos en nuestro blog en pueblossinfronteras.wordpress.com.
Yo voy a hacerte un altar para cuando tú te vayas, ahí poderte recordar. Compañero, no te has ido, sigues en las barricadas. Compañero, te prometo, tu muerte será vengada.
Así concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Toshley y de Norma Martínez, se despide de tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, streaming live at freakradio.org.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. The April 20th, 420 version of Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides here in 2017. I'm Robert. I'll be with you for 2 hours. What do we got coming up? In planning for more protests in May and support of those who are out there every night, not just protesting, but surviving at City Hall. And lots of talk about what's going on the streets and a little music thrown in. Stay with us.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. A song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And, yeah, looking for some new music to play on the show. I've kind of dredged up a few songs, and you'll be hearing them during this broadcast. But if you got ideas, give me a call at 423-4833, and or shoot me an email at rnorse3@hotmail.com. And who knows, I may pick up on it and play it between the talking and the walking, so to speak. So, as you know, you're tuned, or perhaps you don't, to the stream of free radio at freakradio.org if you're listening to us on computer, or you're actually hearing our broadcast signal, which, though weaker than it could be, is certainly stronger than it was when it wasn't at all for the last couple months. We are still in need of a studio, and we're also scrounging around for a computer. I think we can probably find the computer, but the studio, for that, we need your help. We need a space, indoors or outdoors. Minimum is 10 by 10. You can kick down about $300 for it if we need to per month, and we will give a reward of $500 if you can find us that space for a year. I get tired of making the same announcement, but we still don't have a studio, and that means no phone line, no guests live, and also fewer and fewer broadcasters doing live shows. So help save free radio in Santa Cruz, and look around,
see who might be willing to help. We're willing to share space with other folks, too. If you come up with any ideas, either go to the website, freakradio.org, or give me a call at 423-4833, and I will hopefully check it out, and who knows, you might cash in. Let's begin with some interviews from last weekend, where I wandered a little far afield over to the west side of Santa Cruz, where I've been hearing reports of harassment of homeless people in laundromats, exclusion from businesses, harassment by police and Take Back Santa Cruz-ish type or mentality people for people just in the public spaces on the sidewalks. And I got this report, which is somewhat more positive.
I'm on the west side. It's about 10 to 12, and it's April 15th. I'm talking with someone who prefers to remain anonymous and actually not even have his voice on audio, but he's got a tip or two he's going to tell me off mic, which I will pass on to you as to how to avoid police problems. He's newly returned in the last year, but he was here many years ago, and this was a sleepy town, so I'm going to listen to what he has to say and pass on his info to you. So what I'm hearing is that here out at the, I guess this is the Omar Plaza, or some such.
No. Do me a favor.
It's okay.
So anyway, there's other places I've been, and I guess what I'm learning is, and this was true, I was hearing this actually about 6 months ago, well, 3 months ago at the Red Church, where they have a meal every Monday, that they recently have removed tables at the coffee roasting company to discourage people from sitting there, and presumably that is targets poor people.
And we're talking about the West Side Coffee Roasting Company. The one near the Safeway complex.
That is targets poor people, people with signs and so forth. But again, what I've heard when I was visiting one of these areas, and I've been to a number of the different areas in the city today, including City Hall, is that, and this is from an anonymous fellow, he tells me that downtown is really where the police have a major presence, and I think that anybody can see that. The police are quickly come downtown for the, it seems to me, the slightest infraction, and they appear in mass. Although I haven't heard a lot of incidents locally and recently on this, I'm not there most of the time. But that's the latest from my anonymous location. I was also told that the college cops come through here as well, even though it's out of their jurisdiction, here being the very, some of the places on the west side. And they will tell you to leave unless you're maybe a rather old or infirm. And my sources told me that she or he has seen that on occasions. And the real issue has to do with noise to some extent, because one of the few places you can actually rest used to be the college campus. And this, my associate here tells me that happened years ago. I noted also you could use the library in those days, even if you were not a student. You could walk in and use it. Now, of course, you know, the whole police state system, this is my perspective, not the individual I've been talking to. Now it's, you know, you're likely to get hassled. I know even as long ago as 20 years ago, when we tried to have people go on campus to a homeless event that was sponsored as a homeless event, they tried to stop people at the gate and not let them in. We had to have somebody down there saying, they're invited, let them on, stop harassing them. And, that's the latest.
So last Sunday, I began to play some audio from the Indivisible rally that happened the day before on Saturday, the 15th of April. That was tax day. And it was quite a huge crowd at City Hall that they then marched, I guess, over to the post office. I wasn't there on the march, didn't go to the post office, but I was there for about an hour at City Hall while people gathered after I was talking originally to the people who are trying to keep out of the rain and the cold all night by sleeping under the eaves of the buildings there. That's the survival sleepers, as I call them. And got a number of interviews and occasionally interactions between the Indivisible folks who had many colorful signs and great numbers of people, generally an older crowd, but also young folks too, angry with Trump, properly so, concerned about his conflicts of interest, and not terribly excited about local issues, although I guess taxes are a local issue for sure in a certain sense, but how the taxes are being spent on, let's say, police harassment of homeless people, no services for people, bathrooms closed at night, are porta potties locked, the ones that they do even supposedly have available for homeless folks. No storage spaces for homeless properties, so you get to see people lugging their stuff all over town if it's not being confiscated by police or stolen by somebody else. Anyway, here's some stuff from that April 15th gathering, which was pretty huge, or even huge, as our Fuhrer would say.
Wandering around, giving away flyers, a flyer that says, "End the anti-homeless war at home and the escalated war in Syria." The crowds are gathering here. We have a lot of signs. "Show us your taxes, President Chicken. Why should you be different? Show us your taxes. What the hell do you have to lose anyway? Show us your taxes, 2014, 2015, 2016. Fire the GOP. And... sort of slipping through the crowd here. "Show us your rubles. Excuse me. Who is Donald Ducky? Show me yours. I'll show you mine. Ooh! Oh, that's right. You can grab mine anytime. I mean tax form." Did you get a flyer, by the way?
Yes, you did. Thank
okay. Did you read your flyer?
I did read it, yes.
What did you think?
I think we should be transparent in everything.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay, good.
And we've been talking with
Sarah Brighton.
Thanks, Sarah.
And the flyer that she read had to do with police abuse locally and the failure of our police department to reveal the records on the Sean Arlt shooting, the failure of the city to make available claim forms at city council, the actual claims that come in so that the public can know what the, at least some members of the public who are angry or upset or injured enough to bring claims against the city are saying happened to them. Though to get those records, you have to make a Public Records Act request. It's not included in the council agenda still, as far as I know. There is going to be another council meeting coming up on the 25th. That's next Tuesday. It's also when Freedom Sleepout number 94 will be happening at the City Hall. So I'll be hoping to give you maybe some kind of an update on that on Sunday, that is to say on the City Council agenda, which is usually pretty barren of stuff that impacts poor people, except that, of course, most of the financial assistance doesn't go in that direction at all. All the shelter programs ending with the acceptance, except those which supposedly are a pathway to housing, which is the latest catchphrase, and the poverty pimp community, which gets its money and funding to with the theory that they're all directing homeless folks toward housing, which, of course, is part of the get them out of sight, get them out of town, as well as the compassionate, hey, housing is something we all need. Otherwise, the community suffers, generally, not just the individuals who aren't housed, but those people certainly first and foremost.
"Free ride is Donald Ducking, Russian fanatized, tax dodger, fizzling fortune, charity cheapskate. What shouldn't we see? No drive out of Trump. That is smart," says the sign. "He has never lost $900 million. Shame on Trump. I will not be silent." So it's quite a big group, and it's mostly older folks, but there's some younger folks here too. "Show us your tiny taxes," says one of the signs. "Stronger together. Putin and Trump" is the bumper sticker. "Thank you very much, paranoid people." And there's a kind of a Monopoly money bags hat. Right. Well, even if it's 10 o'clock, it's still a public area,
yeah,
so it's okay
so
to be here.
I don't understand why.
I'm glad you're concerned about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we read, and then she went over to ask them.
And I'm realizing, I think, that some of this you've already heard in an earlier broadcast. The comment I made about the Trump-Putin or Putin sign indicating, and there was a number of signs indicating his collusion with the Russians and so forth. As I've said on previous shows, I believe this is a diversionary tactic by Democratic Party bigwigs and Republican war hawks who are intent on making sure that any proposed changes in policy toward with respect to NATO or Russia are that have been at the core of the sort of general war is good business for us and is big business for the military industrial congressional complex, that this policy doesn't change. And Trump, sort of some of his comments, and of course he's all over the map on all this stuff, indicated he at least wasn't afraid to make comments about criticizing NATO's march eastward toward the Soviet Union, or even its existence entirely, or the presence of troops in places like Korea and Japan. I could be wrong about one of those spots. And this, I think, alarmed the establishment. And Democrats, who have been trying to out-war-hawk the Republicans, or at least keep up with them, have been on this war bandwagon. Obama, or Mr. Bomber Obama, if you will, who's continued the seven wars and started a few of those himself, and has been using drones like they're going out of style. And it's a sort of a become a kind of litany and an orthodoxy in this country, war hysteria being treated as truth. And so when I see signs about that, I start farting, so to speak, or at least I start speaking in fartish tones about these issues, because I think we have to get sane about them and the madness. The biggest purveyor of weapons, the individual country with the most military bases, the country that's spending nine times what all the other countries put together, perhaps without counting in Russia, spends on military, is the United States government. Instead of spending money on medical care, housing, other things, development of resources, but instead we have people kind of mouthing these mythologies, and it just ain't so, folks. I believe in the last show we were talking with Enrique. The point that I found of most interest here was that some of the folks from this crowd of largely middle class, almost entirely housed people, it seems, although sometimes homeless people can properly kind of camouflage themselves in a housed crowd. At least one of the organizers even looked like one of the women in a sort of a orange flak jacket that I think they were people who were kind of there to make sure people stayed on the right path when they walked from four blocks to a post office. And I was sad to see that they all took to the sidewalks instead of taking the streets with this huge crowd they had. So well behaved. As the bumper sticker says, well behaved women never make history. And the same thing, I'm afraid, is true generally of well behaved crowds. However, here's a little of this organizer after Enrique kind of concludes what he was saying. He was concerned about harassment, theft of his property by officials, rangers, which he talked about on the last show, or at least I played that, his account of it. Let's hear a little more of what then ensued. I believe the Earth Science protest is coming up this weekend. Today's Sentinel has an editorial, a vital message on the March for Science, noting a March for Science on Earth Day, which is Saturday, April 22nd. No other details are in this editorial. There's also a mention in a letter from Tamia Rice in the Good Times of an event coming up on April 29th, a march and a rally to combat climate change, 1:30 p.m. April 29th. That's the next Saturday, Saturday after next, coming up in San Lorenzo Park at 1:30 in the San Lorenzo Park Benchlands. There'll probably be a lot of middle class folks out supporting that, as there should be. The question is, always for me, is that going to extend anywhere? Is it going to be deeper than simply a Saturday march and away we go and home, even for the very issue that they're marching for, much, much less for the issues that they should be marching for but aren't, those around the rights of poor people not to be dragged into police state situations, which they're in every night when they try to go to sleep.
I don't. I'm sorry. But I'm sure that there's a website you can look up and Google with Google Lowe's.
Well, then I can't squeeze you for any more, can I, Terry?
You probably can't. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm with
Steve Henius of Santa Cruz.
And Steve, you and I have been chattering about, Rochelle Noroyan or the city council's laws about the homeless and the presence of, the claims of the reason they have to restrict everybody or the homeless. Actually, they restrict everybody, but it really impacts homeless people with their no RVs parking at night stuff. Is because of the meth lab problem?
Yeah, we did understand there was one incident on Morrissey a few years ago where, yes, RV had been parked for, several weeks unattended. And what I understand, what I read, is that, yeah, there was a meth lab. But
there probably no meth labs in people's houses at all. I mean, actually, meth labs tend to gravitate to vehicles, I've noticed.
Yeah.
It's much easier to do a meth lab in a vehicle than in a house. Wait, no, I think I got that wrong. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I doubt that many of the...
And, of course, that's my attempt at dry humor or sarcasm. In case you missed it.
Vehicles out here are meth labs.
How long you lived in Santa Cruz?
My grandfather was born in 1909.
You haven't been priced out of here yet, in other words?
No. I've been here since 98. I too lived in my RV.
Oh, ho! A criminal.
Yes, a criminal. I had a truck and an RV.
When I met him, he was living in his RV here and there, and he was frequently parked somewhere overnight, and then the next day they...
You were lured into this man's nighttime web.
Yeah, exactly. No, because I own a house. So I lured him into my
web. Gold digger, a house digger.
but yeah, it was interesting the things that happened to him just here and there.
Did you get ticketed much, Steve, when you were outside?
You know, I was really considerate of the neighborhood I was in. I had a truck that I would park behind it, and I would go to work. And
what kind of work were you doing?
Just construction, and I would, I would take off in the morning, leave my RV there with all the windows open, so the curtains, and I would head off to work, and I would come back.
You fooled the neighborhood.
I fooled the neighborhood, and I would come back at night and sleep and do it all over again.
How long did this go on for?
Oh, probably about 2 years.
And what neighborhood was this, so we can go and try to get damages from you from those neighbors?
He was very good at finding not just one neighborhood, but several.
I'll give you specifics. And there was, over in Aptos, there was a tennis court and some apartment buildings on the other side. Very inundated with cars, a lot of cars that parked for the apartment complex. It was on the other side of the street, completely out of anyone's, visual. There was no houses looking at. And I would just park there.
How about Santa Cruz? Did you do that at all here? This is where the actual sleeping van is.
Yeah, no. Back in the early days, we would drive out to the north end of town and go surfing in the morning.
Just a carefree criminal's life, eh?
Pretty much.
Enabler of the criminal.
Stealing free parking.
No, I'm a disenabler because now the RV is parked on our property.
I go to Mexico. I've been going to Mexico for 30 years. I go every year.
Check you at the border next time, Mr.
February. Typically the 2 months when it rains the most, and I go down to Baja and I take my RV, my camper, and I park on the beach, and
don't try that in Santa Cruz, son.
We all pick up our trash. It's a very it's a neat community down there, and I wish that, you know, it really is lost in time. It's pretty much what California probably was like 100 years ago. And, you know, there's plenty of space in California for that same type of, you know,
now,
communal...
Are you living in Santa Cruz now, the two of you?
Yes.
We live in Santa Cruz, right near the Arana Gulch Greenbelt. And
do you have any problems with homeless folks in your neighborhood?
We have a lot of homeless folks. We've never had any problems, but some of our neighbors complain about theft. And now, it's another thing about Steve is, in order, as you mentioned, he'd leave all the windows open. He has the camper now comes off the back of the truck. We put it in the back. The truck is on the street. He leaves his doors wide open, and about three times a year, maybe more than that, we come out and we see that the glove box has been opened and rifled through. There's nothing there. He doesn't lock it, and the only time they stole his ashtray with his change in it.
So, did you report that to the police?
He didn't care about the change.
See what I mean? Those homeless are criminals. Criminals.
He wanted his ashtray back, but
I did report to the police.
No, because it we don't even know this homeless.
Did you track down the ashtray?
I lost some shoes. A pair of tennis shoes as well.
But the most recent time we went, the glove box had been gone through, and they didn't take anything. They actually left a flashlight for us. So we thought that was really nice. But our neighbors complain a lot about, but I don't know that it's homeless that are stealing the things they're saying they're taking, you know, the tools and...
You haven't joined your neighborhood watch group yet?
You know what we did? We joined that neighborhood thing online, and all it was people bitching and moaning nonstop about people stealing and homeless, and we
stealing fruit from their tree.
Yeah. And so
it's pretty serious.
I know, yeah. Especially when someone's got like 5,000 lemons on their tree and some. Oh, but
they're lemons. It's private property. What are you, a commie? What's going on here? It's a commie rally.
So,
you're a Russian spy, aren't you?
We disjoined that because it was just whining. It was just a whole mess of whining.
But you lost your source of information then.
Well, I don't care. I don't care for that type of information, but we have a lot of homeless people, you know, that live in that gulch here and there, and we ride our bikes through on the new path, and we see them off to the side and during the day, and they're, you know, I have no problem with them hanging out, and there's some nice cows there and keep them company, and we've never had anything where we felt like our house had been threatened by anybody, homeless or otherwise. So and I think we're probably in a high traffic area because of the new path that goes through there. A lot of people come and walk their dogs, so there's a lot of people going up and down the street, and any of them could be just as dangerous as far as we've seen. We've had people stop because we do a lot of work on our house. We've had people stop and ask if, you know, we needed any help. And back when we were doing some bigger jobs, we did hire some people to help, but mostly we just wave and say hi.
And we're going to wave and say bye. I've been talking with
Stacy
and with
Steve.
Stacy and Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
People was found back to God. I can't cry no more. they tried.
I didn't try no more.
And then they stole our solace.
I didn't try no more.
And then they stole our peace.
I didn't try no more.
With countless acts of malice.
I didn't try no more.
And hatred without cease.
I didn't try no more.
Foul and dirty river. Sacred land.
I can't cry no more.
With every act of terror.
I can't cry no more.
They tell us where we stand.
I can't cry no more.
500 years of poison.
I can't cry no more.
500 years of grief.
I can't cry no more.
500 years of freedom.
I can't cry no more.
You plead with this to me.
I can't cry no more.
Legacy is my key.
I can't cry no more.
And that was Rhiannon Giddens' Cry No More. So I haven't been able to see what the latest agenda is for the upcoming April 25th City Council meeting. It probably will be on the City Council, probably is on the Internet now. The time the show is being recorded, which is several hours before the 6 o'clock showtime, it's not. But there is reportedly an Airbnb issue coming up, or possibly it has to do with, I don't know, renter. I guess it is Airbnb. Being able to rent out your place at fancy rates to out-of-towners while at the same time there's a massive housing shortage in Santa Cruz for ordinary working people and poor people and unhoused people. San Jose apparently has the same problem even more so, and it's hit the papers a lot in the last few weeks. There's a story in Tuesday's Mercury News by Ramona Gawargas, or Gawargas, perhaps, San Jose to weigh aid for renters. I'm going to read a few excerpts from this. Despite ranking as one of the costliest rental markets in the nation, San Jose is the last major Bay Area city that lets landlords evict renters without citing a reason. Now, Santa Cruz is another one of those. But that could change under sweeping new tenant protections city leaders will consider Tuesday. And I think they're talking about the Tuesday of this newspaper. So maybe there has been some action, or maybe they're talking about a week from Tuesday. But the issue is what's interesting to me, because while San Jose interests me, what interests me more is Santa Cruz. And what they're doing there may be a model or a guide or an inspiration for us. Amid mounting pressure from renters, the story continues, tenant groups and housing activists, including stories of hundreds of renters being kicked out of the reserve apartments and dozens more evicted at the hands of one landlord, elected leaders are expected to approve some changes. Councilmembers Raul Perales, Donald Roca, Silvia Arenas, and Sergio Jimenez propose a law requiring landlords to cite a just cause before evicting anyone. I've been pushing for such a law in Santa Cruz for several decades, as have other tenant activists, Donna Dice and the Santa Cruz Tenants Union. I may have the name wrong. I think it is a slightly different name, which was active in the 80s and 90s, was pressing for that. There were promises from some council members in the old days that they'd do that, but they never even got the issue on the agenda or perhaps bothered to put it there. I think it was Scott Kennedy who made that offer at one point and never came through with it. San Jose, under the proposal from Perales and Roca, all renters will be protected after 6 months of tenancy. Arenas and Jimenez suggest automatically extending protections against no-cause evictions to renters without even waiting 6 months. San Jose has had more than 2,200 no-cause evictions since 2010, and the council member said renters often live in fear of being evicted for no reason, creating an unbearable and unnecessary hardship for families. It's a secret that the cost of housing has driven people to become homeless or out of the area, and of course that's even more so here, or at least it's a significant factor here. Perales said at a rally where advocates unveiled a new report from Working Partnerships USA and Silicon Valley Rising that showed 70% of San Jose's apartment stock is owned by out-of-town landlords. And I don't know what the stats are here in Santa Cruz. They may have been printed, or mentioned in previous discussions of this Airbnb stuff where you can online get a nice little room for the weekend at a, I don't know, $100 a night or something, and so much for the local renters who need it to survive on so they can go to work and work in the restaurants and the other places, or even, I don't know, as police officers. I think police officers should live in the neighborhoods that they patrol, or at least in the towns that they're hired by. Landlords, of course, have vigorously opposed these laws, and their claim is that it requires a burden of proof for people to get rid of bad tenants, makes it harder to prove it in court, and that's their main excuse for fighting this. Tenants in one out of three San Jose apartments under rent control would get additional protections under Morales-Ferran's proposal. We heard from 111 residents last year who expressed fears of being evicted for complaining about a repair or code enforcement issue. She's actually a housing director, Jackie Morales-Ferran. She's proposing a policy in which tenants who file a complaint about property conditions can enroll in a program that would protect them from being evicted in retaliation. This is actually a weaker proposal than simply giving all tenants the right to protection if they are complaining about a problem a landlord is declining to fix. And I believe there may be some protections under state law, but not as much as you would imagine. And I really should have on the show some activists from our local Santa Cruz Tenants Organizing Committee, Azaf Hirschfield, or possibly Cynthia Berger, who are organizing around these issues. And if you go onto the Facebook, you can find their groups, Santa Cruz Tenants Organizing Committee. Check them out. Landlords would have to offer a written 12-month lease, and they could no longer evict a tenant without cause, and then re-rent the place to those, including veterans, who are able to pay more because of public assistance. This is the so-called loophole in the city's San Jose's current rent control law, which allowed San Jose landlord Peggy DeMaio to evict at least 35 tenants, including 92-year-old Paul Mayer, and receive a higher market rate by renting to veterans, aided by a city-county program to end homelessness among veterans. Morales-Ferran also recommends San Jose create an Ellis Act policy, which other major cities have, that would protect renters who are displaced when an owner demolishes or redevelops property, which happens. The demand for housing continues to exceed the supply, Morales-Ferran says. As land prices rise in San Jose, market pressures to redevelop older housing into a higher density product is expected to escalate. Her recommendations include offering advance notice and relocation benefits to displaced residents. Implementing the new programs would require adding 5 City Hall jobs, Morales-Ferran said, costing $1.1 million. Councilmember Perales, who 2 years ago spurred the city to increase renter protections, is pushing for more, as are council members Tom Nguyen, who's a renter, and Jimenez, who grew up in affordable housing. The city's Advisory Housing and Community Development Commission also recommended just cause protections for all in a meeting Thursday. So this proposal to have it only for those who've been there for 6 months, or only if you complain and then enter a program, essentially puts the burden on the renters, who may be frightened of losing their tenancy, and discourage them from bringing up conditions that they have a right to bring up, abuses by landlords that who are really in a powerful position. My own landlord's comments notwithstanding. They note that San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, they are the council members who are looking for stronger protections. Oakland, Berkeley, Los Angeles, Santa Monica, and San Diego all have just cause eviction rules, but not Santa Cruz, that aren't limited to tenants who file complaints, though San Diego's only applies to those who have rented for 2 or more years. Perales and Aroca's proposal also includes tying annual rent increases in the city's 43,000 rent-controlled units, currently capped at 5% a year, to the area's inflation rate, because if inflation is not rising at 5, why should the landlords be allowed to scalp, skin, and suck money out of tenants who can't even afford to, well, maybe have to hold down two jobs to afford the housing they have. Private polling funded by the South Bay Labor Council, Affordable Housing Network, Sacred Hearts and Working Partnerships USA suggests 62% of 911 likely voters would support JESCA's protection for all if the council doesn't approve it. In other words, if the council doesn't get off its butt, the community may, and what may push for an initiative or have a referendum that overturns the council's vote in favor of something else. Jump now to the survival sleepers, as I call them, the folks sleeping at City Hall, night, April 17th.
City Hall, it's April 17th. We've got four, maybe five, tented encampments on the sidewalk.
Tented encampments are actually areas of the sidewalk that are partially covered with tents, because that night there was rain that Monday night. And in fact, that was the night when people were driven out into the rain by police. One of the many nights when numerous nights that people were driven out into the rainy weather by police officers from the under the eaves of the city. They were not, however, as far as I know, driven away from the tents that they'd put up, those who had them on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh. How's it going? Any reports? Where is your house?
Right there.
Oh, there we go. We're talking with
Lawrence McGregor or Viper.
And Viper, what's the story tonight? How are things going? It's here about 9:30. Any visits from our friends, the police?
Not yet, but they did have a pullover on the other side on Church Street, but no one came over here yet.
What do you mean by that? Say that again.
Someone got pulled over by a vehicle, uh-huh. And it was three cop cars pouring over one car.
Oh, do we know what that was about?
No.
How many folks would you estimate are here?
About 15 people.
And
four tents.
And how does that compare with last night?
Pretty good.
More or less the same?
Less. But now we have people all over the walls, in the back, the sides. Everyone's coming out.
And, of course, there'll be a Freedom Sleep Out, presumably, tomorrow night.
On my birthday.
Really? Your mother's birthing day?
Yes. I am going 45.
My sympathies?
Yes, sir.
Actually, you're still... relatively young.
What are you doing out here in this cold, cold weather?
I'm coming out of a movie, and I'm also interested in getting a report to pass on to, you know, folks on Thursday night when I do another broadcast.
But we have some people who said they want to come out here and join us tomorrow night for the sleep out.
And that could happen.
Coming from Union City, Tennessee, and mostly Chicago, Illinois.
Wow, how many folks are those?
About six or seven.
Really? And these are folks you just happened to wander into? Or?
No, they heard about it over the radio.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Oh, that's impressive. How many folks would you say from the winter shelter program?
You all right, brother?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Enrique? Winter shelter program has some people here. Are they still here?
Yes, all on that side mostly. We have three, four of them on the doctor's office over there, and the rest of them up here.
I saw nobody. Well, then presumably somebody walking away from the Orthodox Church now. How about the Civic? Anybody over there?
No. I'm keeping it that way. We're trying to just keep it in this area only.
Keeping everybody together. Are you having any kind of...
And the way, for those who don't know the situation, the way City Hall and the sleeping area look, City Hall is on a large, long block. And most sleeping at City Hall is under the eaves of the City Hall area, which is their corridors that sort of line, go next to the offices at City Hall, which has an overhang so people can be protected from the rain. But after 10 o'clock, it becomes illegal to be at City Hall or even near City Hall on anywhere on that block except on the sidewalk. They call the area a park, even though there's... it was a designation, I think, of convenience for those in 2010 who created it to drive away a very specific homeless protest then, the Peace Camp 2010, as it was called. City Hall is located right across from the main library, where people also sleep on the sidewalk, because they've also declared the area around the library, which is a, 10 or 12 feet area around the building, maybe less. Used to be bushes, but they tore out all the bushes. There are some benches that they now intend to tear out. They're calling it a park, too, even though it has nothing to do with a park. It has to do with a designation that allows them to exclude people after closing hours because they don't want homeless people to be there. Then there's an area that is kitty corner from the City Hall, which is the Greek Orthodox Church, where there's another building, but that's not, of course, owned by the city. And the Greek Orthodox Church occasionally does allow people to be there, or at least doesn't actively go after them. And then the fourth corner is taken up with the Civic Auditorium, which is across the street on Church Street. And that is also has overhangs, but it's a city building, and it becomes a target for the rangers who want to drive away homeless people and the police and the paid security thugs, as I call them, because that's really what they're doing. They're using the threat of force, the threat of the police, the threat of jail to interfere with, I think, the legitimate and necessary survival behavior of homeless people. And that's kind of the scene. It's kind of hard to describe, but go down there and take a look. It's happening every night. Should be happening tonight, Thursday night.
Meetings with folks are pretty much an independent thing.
Independent. But we have found out what about the Take Back Santa Cruz. They have their own website now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
And do you have your own website?
I don't need one.
Well, maybe you'll get one anyway. You never can tell. The Freedom Sleepers are supposed to meet tomorrow night to discuss strategy at 7. I take it you'll be there.
Yes, I will.
And I call this group, it's my own phrase, the Survival Sleepers, because you're here every night, or at least many of you are, right?
Yes, sir.
What if you have a message to put out for the people on Thursday evening who are listening to this broadcast, what would you like to say?
Come on out and join us, please. We need all the help we can.
Anything else for those who are too timid to join you?
They're chicken and they want to stay inside, that's fine. I've been out here for 25 years. I could deal with it.
Well, what do you want them? Can they contribute in any way?
Yes. Is it going to bring them tents or sleeping bags, blankets, food, whatever? We've been out here all every day and every night.
And at what time should they come to bring this stuff, and who should they speak to, or is there any way to
speak to Lawrence McGuire or Blue?
And how do they know who you are?
Just ask. Everybody knows me.
And, of course, we've been talking with
Lawrence McGuire.
Thanks, Blue.
Welcome.
All right.
Enrique here.
I missed court, and I went down there to try to get back on calendar. And I got back on calendar, and she said it's 3 days from now. But what I don't understand is why she said that they can't get me in front of a judge. I'm on the run right now for 3 days, you know, until I get back in the courtroom, because they said I missed court. And I got a piece of paper in the mail that said I got to go to court on the 17th.
Well, you made a court date, so that should take the get rid of the warrant.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That sheriff's coming on me today, I kept moving. I've been moving all day. I'm just completely exhausted. Just trying to stay out, you know, going to jail because I don't want to go to jail.
Well, let's see you set up a tent here.
Well, you know,
or a canvas, I should say.
Well, you know, if anything, you know, Santa Cruz police would probably cite me out, and I have to go back to court. But the sheriffs are not. They don't cite nobody. It's going to take straight to jail. And all day today.
How many sheriffs around Santa Cruz City or mostly in the county?
Just the ones in here, around Santa Cruz County.
So not in the city.
Well, it's kind of like I feel like I've been pointed out to get them, you know, because I have nowhere to run, you know. I don't want to run. I don't want to face where the things I do wrong, if anything.
The things they say you do wrong.
Well, I always want to try to do right. But I just know that it's unfair that I get a court date 3 days from now, and they tell me that they can't pull back the warrant.
That sounds unfair. Now, what are you being charged with? If you want to say.
I really keep that.
No, let's hold that then. And let me just then wish you luck.
Yes, sir. I really do need a lot of luck. I need some prayers.
You get some rest, hopefully, tonight.
Oh, yes. I definitely will. Because I have to take care of a lot of things tomorrow and to help my case out. Thank you.
And we've been talking with?
Enrique Oriori.
Thanks, Enrique.
Thank you very much.
The mayor over here. Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Good. We're talking with
Claudio Martinez.
How do you look like you're comfortably ensconced up with a poncho or a nice warm blanket over you and your signature hat on?
Of course.
How long have you been here at City Hall? For the last few days?
Over the last couple of weeks.
And how's it been comparatively?
There's been a few skirmishes, but it's been mostly well behaved.
The last 3 or 4 days, what's been the situation?
Well, the first alarm comes and kicks everybody out, and then they move to the sidewalk.
Has that happened in the rain much?
Yeah, that happened last night. It was raining. They came at 10:30.
And did the people move, or did some stay?
They had to move. Everybody had to move, yeah.
Everybody moved. And how many were there when the first alarm came last night?
There was 15 left after they left.
And when before they came?
Probably about 20.
And I was cursing again. Anyway, is there more you'd like to point out for folks who are listening to this on Thursday evening, which is when we're going to broadcast?
It just surprises me that with places like the Civic Auditorium and so many available places that they could use to have people in a humane way get through the rain and have a place to go that's safe. There's a lot of senior citizens that are out here and a lot of disabled people, that there would be some place that they'd make as a safe spot for people to go that's condoned.
I take it the bathrooms are still closed.
Yeah, years ago they used to open up the bathrooms at the City Hall at like 7:30 in the morning, and now they're permanently on a kind of lock that I think just public's not allowed to go into the bathrooms. They're on some sort of a lock mechanism.
Well, maybe homeless activists who are housed can come and sort of start a line outside the bathroom to the city manager's office, because the city manager has a bathroom inside this building to my right. We're standing outside the city council offices where the actual city council members are, next to the sort of the main waiting area where you go into the talk to city council members or the mayor. Perhaps there should be a line here in the morning, and we could have a bucket for people to pee in if necessary.
There should be something set up, at least something for people to use.
Yeah, I agree, and I was thinking, well, tomorrow there'll be an opportunity to discuss this, because the Freedom Sleepers are meeting at 7 o'clock to discuss strategies, and I'm concerned that they also pay some attention to the Survival Sleepers, who are there the rest of the week. That's you guys.
Yeah, I guess I'm on both.
And you're both.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
No, not for this. Not for the moment, no.
And we've been talking with
Claudio Martinez.
Thanks, Claudio.
Said you're gonna shoot me down, put my body in the river. Shoot me down, put my body in the river while the whole world sings. Sing it like a song. The whole world sings like there's nothing going wrong. He shot her down, he put her body in the river. He covered her up, but I went to get her and I said, my girl, what happened to you now? I said, my girl, we gotta stop it somehow. Thank you. up the leaves of September like an old sad song. You heard it all before, we'll feel just gone, but I'm settling the score.
Hooray for the riffraff, the Body Electric. And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. This is called Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. It's my show. I'm Robert Norse. You can reach me by phone at 423-4833. Not on the air, but you can catch me and I will consider your comments, maybe even play them. And if you've got some tips as to what's happening outside, that would be interesting to be involved in Free Radio Santa Cruz as a broadcaster or a support person. Go to the website at freakradio.org and find out more, including schedules of programs. Somewhat murky and muddled these days because we don't have a studio, but we still are trying to keep a schedule. And leave me a message, too, if you're interested in the organization I work with, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, or if you'd like to provide some support for the survival sleepers. Best way to do that, of course, is to go down to City Hall in the evening or in the morning or actually even during the day and talk to the folks there, see what they need, and see what you feel like providing. If you want to provide in a more formal way in terms of monitoring what's going on, being on call in case there's a police raid, as there was with eight police officers. Gosh, I guess it was Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. Give me a call as well at 423-4833, and I'll sign you up on a hot list where we can get in touch with you if you happen to live nearby and you want to be available to go down and document what's happening. Back to interviews from Monday night, April 17th, at City Hall.
Dreamcatcher.
And you're here with guitar, trailer, and bike, and you've got a bench to sit on, and one shoe off and one shoe on.
Correct. I'm getting ready to transplant over there to the Women's Resource Center where I sleep, and I keep it clean over there, and I promise not to sleep here anymore because, you know, they're trying to clean it up here.
And how's it been during the day?
I've been here almost all by myself because everybody else has got smoking or a 7-day restriction for violating their 24-hour restriction.
And were you here yesterday, at least until sleeping time?
Almost.
And let me explain what that means. In addition to getting a $200 to $300 citation for being in a park after dark here, if you are, I don't know, audacious enough to want to sleep out of the rain under the eave, or even stand out of the rain, not even sleep, on this property, it is a $200 to $300 crime. And not only that, but the police will also give you their own, especially made, written without any kind of court authorization, free of any kind of need to go to trial or have a hearing, a special stay-away order cooked up by the city council, which decided to act as judge, jury, and executioner for homeless people, because that's who this mainly impacts, which requires the criminal, or I should say the accused, because you haven't been convicted of any crime, you haven't even been charged in court with a crime. A citation can be written, and it doesn't mean you necessarily are charged with it in court. The police department has to decide, or the district attorney or the city attorney has to decide, if they're actually going to file the charge that the police officer has written you in a citation. It's true you're making a promise to come to court, but you may come to court and find that you're not even on the calendar because the DA, and this has happened to me many times, has decided that the criminal claim of the police department is not something that they can prove. as not, it may not be something for which there's a probable cause, as was the case with activist Abby Samuels when she was videoing people who were being hassled by the police and driven out into the rain on April, I think it was April 7th, around midnight, or maybe it was the 6th. That was last week, or 2 weeks ago, actually, now, I guess. Or maybe I have that, maybe I'm a week off on that. But in any case, she was jailed. She was held for 18 hours. And eventually, when she got, she was taken before a judge. She said, take me to a magistrate. And they finally had to do that. And they did. And the judge didn't even give her a court date or a charge. So there's nothing here that indicates any kind of crime. You're free to go. Of course, the judge didn't clap the officer in irons or demand he had to show up for court to explain himself. Nope, it was none of that. But even if police are simply using the color of authority and the force of their guns and other threatening implements they have, the threat to use them, as a basis for getting people to take actions that they have no right to demand of the people, like go out into the rain if you're elderly and disabled and taking shelter under a building that's supposed to be a public building that's closed at night. You aren't even indoors. You're in the hallway. You're in the outdoor eve area. The catcher is one of those who's been told because he's tried to help other people watch their stuff. The police don't like that. They don't want people to form socially connected groups that start protecting each other. The police have their own gang. They don't want rival gangs in town, I guess. This is a somewhat cynical way of looking at it, but not necessarily an unrealistic way. And Dreamcatcher's been told he has to sleep somewhere else, so he goes somewhere else to sleep. That doesn't stop his stuff from getting taken, confiscated by police and rangers. This seems like he's trying to make sense of what's going on, and he can't quite do it. He wants to be a gentle, kindly person, it seems like to me. He wants to be a helpful individual. He wants to live out his life, and he tries to find some way to avoid an attitude of hostility that one would naturally feel toward people who are not just stealing your property, but stealing your sleep, stealing your sanity, stealing your dignity. The natural response is anger and resistance, and that, on the other hand, if you are in a position of powerlessness, can be very damaging and dangerous. So instead, he tries to adopt a different attitude, a kind of a, oh, they didn't really mean it. Oh, I can figure out how to deal with it. Oh, there must be a system. Maybe I did something wrong. I can figure it out. I make friends with the police department. All these kinds of things are, you know, the kinds of quite reasonably sounding, but I think ultimately unsuccessful strategies that are used by people outside.
And what did you see? Were there a larger number of people?
Yeah, there's always a bunch of people that collect here after 10:30. And they were pushed into the rain early this morning. And they go over to the Civic Center, which is okay while it's raining, but they got to leave. And if you got more than you can carry, then, you know, that's too much. And, you know, people were abandoning their stuff today and going to use the bathroom for a longer period than usual. And they came back and their stuff was gone. Well, I don't watch people's stuff. I watch my own stuff.
It can be a trial in itself.
Right. All the trials that I've had lately have kind of purged the whole Dreamcatcher thing. And I'm back to basically one brush, one pencil, and one piece of paper. But my artwork's really good.
I got your artwork on my wall, so...
Right. I've started a couple more walls and for some people, and I'm getting back to work. I'm going to quit being such a do-nothing. I'm starting to feel better. I quit cigarettes almost.
Well, that's good. But, of course, you know, I guess you got your fucking hands full keeping stuff together and...
Right.
Keeping one step ahead of the latest rules.
Right. It seems like they have a meeting about us, what to do the next day and the next day and the next day in here. I kind of read lips. and I might be their main subject. You know, whatever they get me to do, they're going to get everybody else to do, but that's not true. I don't do what everybody else does. So wherever I am, they take advantage of that sanctuary and do what they do, but it's not what I do.
So when you go today to your, where you're going to go to sleep, do people go with you or not?
No.
You kind of go by yourself.
Right. I don't want anybody else there except
me. We're going to reveal, not you're going to reveal. We're not going to reveal.
We call it the Bat Cave.
We'll call the Bat Cave whatever it is and wherever it is. And
right, that's what the Bat Cave is. Nobody knows. You've got to go in blindfolded and backwards.
A secret place. And we've been talking.
Dreamcatcher, thank you all for, if there's been any support out there from any of you, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now we jump back a day to the 16th Sunday. I think it's the evening, but let's take a listen.
A quick report here from
Jenny.
And Jenny, it's raining now, and it's Sunday the 16th, but have you been, you've been pretty much around City Hall the last couple of days or not?
Yes, and today there's been like no security and no like rangers, maybe just one time around the block, I can't believe, even though it's Easter Sunday.
And you tend to stay here tonight?
If it's raining, I don't know where I tend to stay. I just don't know yet. It's raining pretty good.
How about the last couple nights?
When it's raining, they still don't let us stay up here at all. Anywhere on the premises.
So last night you weren't here?
I was in front up here, yes I was, but it wasn't raining till this morning.
And are they hassling you if you're in front of the area or just if you're inside?
This morning, there was no rangers. It was weird, and no security, no cops. It's Easter Sunday. I can understand being a holiday, but
how about yesterday morning?
Every morning they've been here. They've been hard on everybody because of all the bad drama and all the bad drugs and things that have been going on.
How many folks are here the last couple nights?
Out in front? Man, it's been going around the corners. And the whole front's like pigging and then like people moving around the corner.
You gotta reserve a spot.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how much stuff they have. I don't know. It's been pretty genuine. They've been letting me stay here. So it's really good. Yeah.
And we've been listening to the report of
Happy Easter, Robert, and thank you.
Happy Easter to you. And happy day after Easter as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jenny. Talking with?
Yes, Mac Plummer.
And Mac, you're telling me that last night, Saturday night, 15th, sidewalk was filled.
It was filled up. It went pretty well. The cops came by to just make sure that everyone was on the, not blocking the sidewalk, that it was pretty full.
How many people would you estimate?
20 to 25.
Looking around now, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, about 15, maybe more here.
Right. Yeah.
The rain is hitting and people are under the eaves of the building.
We failed tonight again. If we don't get our spots there, we're going to see how they act tonight and see if they let us stay in here if it's raining.
And what about Friday night? How did that go?
It was bad. I don't know what was going on. They were in groups. The cops was in groups of four. Like three on one side, three on the other side, and like three in the middle.
Did they march up and down and kick their legs up?
They came everywhere. They just came in here. They didn't say nothing. They were just looking at everybody. Just looking and just standing there.
Photo opportunity?
Huh?
A photo opportunity.
Yeah. Every hour they came, too, and did the same thing. Every hour of the night.
Did they say anything?
They didn't say nothing. Just looked at everyone.
Maybe they're just trying to come accustomed to reality?
Yeah, and trying to imitate. Yeah. Trying to just, I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of that was, but it wasn't right.
any messages for the people at Food Not Bombs? I'm going over there next.
I'm not for sure. No messages.
And we've been talking with
Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Say that again.
There's been a lot of more people coming out that was, I guess, in the shelters that don't have nowhere to go now. And Friday night scared them a little, scared them away. Just scared them away because of the cops and their presence.
They didn't do anything, they just walked around.
Yeah, and first alarm.
Did that happen? Did that drive away any people who were actually here on Friday night? Did people get up and leave when the cops
came? Yeah. They didn't know what was going on, they didn't understand.
But some people didn't leave.
Some people didn't. Some came back. I think they will come back. I think more will come back.
Good enough. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it for me now.
Thanks, man. For lining well.
There are four or five people along each side, and 10 or 11. Hey, along the city hall. I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, we were really grateful that this morning was like the first morning, only morning.
A report for Free Radio? No, okay, let me turn this off. I'm told that on Easter Sunday today, people have been allowed to sleep in. But that might not happen tomorrow. And it probably didn't happen yesterday. And let me ask you off mic here, since you seem a little shy. Have you been here the last few days? And on April 8th, I'm getting this report that someone who did serve food at the homeless, what I call the Homeless Lack of Services Center.
No, I'm sorry.
It was from
not someone.
Volunteer who came by and set up a table with food. That was on the night of April 8th. That was the first night after the closing of the April 7th winter shelter. Now, of course, we're at April 16th, which is, you know, what, 9 days later or something? And have you been here pretty much since then? But we have a correction that, so the shelter ended the 7th, the morning of the 8th. The meal actually was on the morning of the, I guess the morning of the 9th? No. The shelter ended the night of the 7th and the morning of the 8th was the last shelter night. And then your first night, the next morning, you were fed here by a volunteer. No. Dinner on the 8th. But also, my informant here has been telling me she's been here every night except for one night when the rain caught her. When she got here, she found that everybody except for one guy had been dispersed by the police. But she stayed anyway. Really kept dry. It was by our friends, the first alarm folks, not by those honorable police officers. Do you wish to say who you are or not? She's keeping a low profile here. I'll ask her, how many people from the church shelters, the winter shelter, actually here? Around a dozen each night, though that range from 8 to 15 on different nights. So it's getting pretty heavy use by people from the winter shelter, although the winter shelter did have, in theory, a capacity of 110, the two shelters together. So that's interesting. However, here, hiding in her bag, is the notorious sometime Huff member. What's your name, Abby?
One-time Huff member.
She reaches out and strikes me. That's an assault, lady.
No, naughty,
now
naughty.
Now she's pointing her finger at me.
Naughty, naughty. We need a shelter. And the mayor and the city council, we need a shelter. I'm 16 and out in the waiting list for the River Street shelter, and we need a shelter for people that are kicked out of the winter shelter. I was talking to the minister of the Marin Methodist Church, and he said that winter shelter there ends the 15th of May, which is more accurate because it's still raining in April.
How have conditions been here, Cherie?
They've been basically quiet. Anyone that's noisy, I tell them to leave and go take their story over there and come back where they're willing to be quiet.
Do they obey you?
Yes, they do.
Is it because of your sweet disposition?
Yes, I say shh.
You're teaching people etiquette here. Sort of survival sleeping etiquette?
Survival sleeping etiquette. We're all just trying to survive. We were
going work yet, Cherie?
No, I'm out of juice and out of power. I missed all my missed calls, so I don't even know what they are.
If you want, Chris, you're not the most mobile person here, but have somebody go around and figure out who has phones, get phone numbers so I can contact people.
How about 211 to see where we could sleep tonight?
No. Sleeping isn't important. It's just me being able to type properly is important. Actually,
you can't type.
I do type in spite of myself. 211 is actually, that's the Brent number to find out if you have a winter shelter open, right?
Right.
Not winter shelter, warming center.
There was one two nights ago, and I waited for 2 hours, and they put me out on California Street outside of this interface satellite group that I've been with for 7 months. And told me I had to be properly vetted to go inside.
You have to be properly vetted. What did that?
Well, they investigated my background for the last 10 years.
You're a known communist. We
know
that.
I said you can't even count the number of bodies I've killed in the last 10 minutes. So
the hopes and the dreams you've killed as well.
Hey, Mayor, where's our shelter?
The mayor should be inside your office tomorrow, perhaps.
Oh, we might be here.
Although I think Monday is also a holiday, Easter Sunday. Monday, maybe not.
Sunday blues, Easter Sunday, too much chocolate. Where's my chocolate bunny, Robert?
I haven't seen any eggs around, bunnies, crucifixes, nothing.
Yeah, we want chocolate bunnies or eggs.
See, these homeless, they demand all kinds of things.
Water would be nice. Water.
There's water right outside this building here. It's coming from the sky, manna from heaven.
Oh.
And we've been talking with...
Sherry Cherie, and I'm in the house party. He says I'm the most irrelevant and immaterial and fluffy member, but I'm still over there.
Right on. Thank you. Hearing from my other source here that even though there's a larger number of people in the winter shelter than have showed up here, there's a, and maybe only 8 to 15 every night here, there's about an equal number perhaps in the peripheral zone around the building. Perhaps they're apprehensive about police and security. Perhaps they don't like crowds. Perhaps they're intimidated by the, I don't know what, but that could happen. And thank you for the extra info.
Yeah, from the winter shelter, but they're also seeking asylum or sanctuary.
And sometimes another 12 show up as well. So it's a growing movement, it sounds like. And I know there's going to be a Freedom Sleep Out 93 coming up on Tuesday, as well as a meeting of planning a bigger protest May 9th here.
And 93 was on Tuesday. That was last Tuesday. As I mentioned before, 94 will be coming up the same day as the last city council meeting in April, which will be April 25th. And then on May 9th, which is 2 weeks after that, there will be a large protest. The organizers expect lots of people to come to gather at the county building or the courthouse area over across the river, walk to the post office where there still is this forbidden fence, which gets decorated every Friday and Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Food Not Bombs serves its meals from 4 to 6. That's at the outside the main post office. And then the march will, on May 9th, go over to City Hall in time for the 5 o'clock oral communications period, which is the only time the city actually allows people to talk about subjects that are on their mind, and then only for 2 minutes each. It's going to be a pretty crammed and probably heavily policed, is my suspicion. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert. This is Bathrob Spears. Broadsides will be going at you for another 45 minutes, so don't go away.
I'd like to see there be some regular support for this encampment, not that I'm willing to do much about it, except make little interviews, but I'm looking for that. I'm asking people about it. If you can find anybody with phones that are operational here, if you want to check around with people, tell them that I'm interested in being able to contact them by phone to get an earful of what's happening. Thank you, anonymous one. A very eloquent statement that I wish you'd repeat, because you said it very well. Could you repeat that for us? She shakes her head. What she said is that she thanks the Freedom Sleepers and those associated with them, including yours truly, about making this, in the eyes of authority, appear a more legitimate protest and therefore not something they can simply dismiss as a handful of troublemakers like this Cherie Peterson woman, a well-known troublemaker from way back.
I'm laying down resting. Robert, there's not enough shelters. We need more shelters. We need the mayor and the city council to open the vets hall, open the civic, open somewhere where we can lay down and rest. People like me that are in chronic pain, that are older than a dinosaur egg, need somewhere to go, especially in the rain. And I thank you for talking to us. I'm number 16 out in the River Street shelter waiting list, and there's no emergency beds. And the Jesus Joseph Mary house is full for people that want to live there for years.
And again, we've been listening to the complaints of...
Sherry Cherie and the Interfaith Shelter won't let me in. I've called Debbie numerous times.
Debbie Moore?
Debbie Bates, and she said if I get a voucher, an extension on my voucher, which I got till June 3rd, I could get back in the go to nine churches in a week, and I haven't. They made me stay outside on California Street.
To punish you for the woman that you are.
Right, I played the Beatles at 6:30 in the morning.
There you are. What kind of? Why would you do that?
Because we want to live in a yellow submarine.
I see. Well, looking pretty submarine-ish at the moment, so you may be getting your wish. Watch out. Thank you, Cherie. So I'm down here at the Food Not Bombs meal. It's about 20 to 5. There are a tarp and two canopies set up and four long tables. But no literature table. What is meant by this? Why is there no literature table?
There is. It's in a different spot today. It's around the corner next to the front of the post office where a lot of people are having to sit because it's raining and there's nowhere for them to go.
I see. So there still is, come rain, come shine, come flood, a literature table.
Yes. It's central to what Food Not Bombs does here.
What is your name, sir?
Tyler.
And Tyler, aren't you one of those disreputable individuals who showed up at City Hall feeding the vagabonds who are trespassing at night and violating the sanctity of our City Hall?
Yeah, I actually got to cook for people on Wednesday morning, and I slept out last Tuesday.
And do you intend to be sleeping out again in this illegal protest?
Yes, I do.
This is some sort of death wish on your part, or you just want to flaunt your authorities and bleh?
No, I think that it's wrong for people to not have a place to sleep, especially when our society wastes so much, not just food, but also space. Right across the street here is an abandoned lot that I've heard has been abandoned since the earthquake that happened in Santa Cruz, and it could easily have many tarps. At least a very cheap option would just be tarps that we could put up where all these people who are out here in the rain could be out of the rain very easily. So we waste a lot in this society, and I think that's wrong, and I think that it has its roots in money, ultimately.
You're attacking the very God that on Easter Sunday we all worship.
I don't think so. I'm sure any deity of any religion would not want people to be out in the rain when there's other options.
They don't sully our churches.
That's true, but the post office isn't a church, though I don't think people standing under it, it's putting it to good use.
And I think we're going to leave it there. We've been talking with
Tyler.
Dead,
65 people so far. We probably expect to get about to 100.
Wow. And thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Keep it. That notorious cynic, Uncle Bob LaMonica. Hi, Bob.
Robert, how are you?
And here you are with your gloves on, serving food in the rain, actually under the eaves of a couple of canopies. But and you have some cynical things to say about Indivisible, the fine group that had a massive protest yesterday.
Well, it's posturing. It's 1,000 miles away, so it's easy to draw 1,000 people to come out with their signs. You know, they want to see Trump's taxes. Well, that's great. Why don't you come out for the homeless people that are literally dying and living in the rain, living in the elements. My point being, Robert, that it's so much easier to protest something 1,000 miles away than it is to protest what's in one's own community. It should be a scandal, and maybe one day it will be.
Indeed. Well, actually, they could also be protesting war profiteering by the city council insofar as their investments are involved in any kind of companies that have anything to do with the war. They could be dealing with police abuses locally. But
none of that is happening.
Well,
I don't know why.
No,
the police abuse thing, I agree with you on. I'm not against, you know, people want to see Trump's tax returns. They want to change foreign policy. That's great. But those things are 1,000 miles away, and it takes very little, if any, courage at all to stand up for that stuff. It's meaningless for all practical purposes, in my humble opinion. What takes courage and principle is to stand up for what is a double standard in one's own community, and that would be homelessness and you're right, abuse of power.
Well, of course,
you need to be vigilant locally.
Right, and locally you could stand up against the war by dealing with what local politicians do around that issue, but that's not being done either.
Which is what?
Well, in other words, the city council has the power
to divest. Well, sure. I'm like I said, I'm all for that,
but they're not even thinking about it.
No,
there's no pressure to do that.
Okay, I would like to see the city council, the local so-called leadership, including People's Democratic Club, which are, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest, one of the biggest fraud groups in town, second only to the ACLU local chapter. No. They don't stand up for anything.
How can you say that?
They stand up for nothing locally. They have great coffee classes. Now, come on.
And they do, and they make...
You know, listen,
they have,
I don't want to hear more of
them.
They do great at protests, and they hold their signs up, and they take pictures of each other, and they give awards out. Come on, Robert, you and I, you've been around...
The Hammer of Justice Award.
Or is it the Bummer of Justice Award?
Longer than I have,
and you see, both those two groups are the height of hypocrisy.
We have been talking with
this Bob LaMonica. Robert, good to see you in the rain.
Good to see you.
Here at Food Not Bombs Feeding.
We're on the steps of the post office, actually under the post office structure, which is closed on Sunday, particularly Easter Sunday. And we got about 12 people here now, eating and, you know, sheltered from the rain. They're using the infamous milk crates. I haven't called the police yet on these felonious milk crates, but I may have to do that one of these days. Those are being used as seats for people to sit on. And the food goes on. So what's your opinion of the food, sir?
And I mentioned felonious milk crates, as I said, in past broadcasts for those who weren't around. Actually, people have been cited, or I don't even know if they've been arrested, but they were cited here in Santa Cruz within the last 6 months for sitting on a milk crate with the claim that the milk crate was a stolen item and that they were therefore in possession of stolen property. That was used against, actually, activist Keith McHenry himself, who was fighting that as a felony charge 20 years ago in San Francisco, when it was clearly a politically motivated charge designed to attack him, as it is now being used by Santa Cruz police to attack, or was in these two cases I heard about, to attack people who are homeless or who are vending and perhaps trying to vend in areas where it was outside the sacred rectangularly disced performance pens or vending pens, as I call these very limited spaces where people are allowed to set up a table inside on the sidewalk. Let's hear some more. What I will do before we go back to the rainy Sunday, actually, when Food Not Bombs was feeding, that was about 5 days ago. The Sentinel mentions in a front page article, it talks about the program initially called the Downtown Accountability Program, but then called, renamed the Partnership for Accountability Connection, PACT, which I was attacking some years ago when I talked to program staff member Susan O'Hara, a city council bureaucrat, a friendly person, but a liar. Sorry, Susie. She insisted that this program was designed to find housing and ways of helping homeless people who had chronic problems with the law downtown because they were repeat offenders of open container or drunkenness. She insisted that the only significant crimes would be the basis for essentially streamlining these people into court programs that would either tell them you get into a program or you go to jail for a longer period of time, with the theory being that the program would somehow address their behavior. But she insisted that this would not happen for things like sleeping, sitting, being in a park after dark. However, the Sentinel article on the front page of today's paper, she told me this, told this to me and pushed back Pat Colby and Pat's brother and others from the Huff group that came to found her office, which she has sort of had cleverly disguised on the second floor of the UC building downtown that now houses Five Guys, if you know the downtown area and along Pacific Avenue. We were able to find her office even though there was no signs and there was no instructions on how to get there. We really had to kind of do some sleuthing to find it. When we finally got there, she told us that, as I said, that this was only had nothing to do with these status crimes that homeless people that are used to drive homeless people away, but rather with real behavioral problems. And I, that has to do with things that were real crimes, theft, assaults, disturbing the peace in some significant way. And let's look at this article by John D. Gums. It's cost $2.4 million over 2 years, reached 153 people, mostly male. It did drop 50% or more in citations, ambulance runs, and emergency room visits, but jail nights grew by 33%. Most of the savings was from medical expenses, typically billed to Medi-Cal. The savings for the city and county was only $1,300. The serial inebriate program, known as SIP, cost $712,000 over 3 years, served 92 people, and led to a drop of 25% or more in ambulance runs, emergency room visits, and jail bookings. But jail nights grew by 100%. So they punished people more severely, but jailed less, either less people or there were less instances of jailing. That could have been because they simply kept people longer. The supervisors were supposed to discuss this, and I haven't reviewed the video or the supervisors who are online. If you want to read about, actually, if you want to listen to that and see what they did, looking over the rest of the article, and it's actually much more candid in the. The second section of the article, it's headed homeless. The word homeless does not appear in the headlines of the front page, which describes the article. I'm sorry, and that's not true. It doesn't appear in the headlines. Fewer citations, but more jail time is the headline. But the secondary is homeless programs to reduce ambulance runs and hospital visits. What it really is anti-homeless programs. It has very little to do with actually finding housing for people. And here are the stats on what the citations were for. 25% were for sleeping outdoors, so that's why I'm calling Susie O'Hara a liar. 16% were for open containers of alcohol. That's also an infraction and a lie to suggest that it's a more serious crime that they were intending this program to address. 8% were for smoking in a no-smoking zone. That is also an infraction. So if you add all this up, the other citations that aren't mentioned by percentage were for remaining on bus or park property after being asked to leave, or sitting or lying on a sidewalk. Exactly what we told her that this whole program was going to be used to do. It was part of the Downtown Association desire to mop up and drive away people who were doing behaviors that homeless people do because they don't have options. I guess what annoys me is that I wouldn't say I'm a sort of naive or a dopey guy, but I do like to some extent, assume that the people I'm talking to who approach me with a bright smile and a friendly attitude are not necessarily lying. But as apparently with city employees in the city of Santa Cruz on homeless issues, it's best to assume the opposite. I'm coming around to that opinion. People who got housing were 2 got temporary housing, 8 got sober living house, and 1 got a girlfriend's house. Before, 3 had temporary housing, 1 was in a sober living environment, and that was it. And there's some other unknown categories. I guess I'll have to talk to Susie about this and give her a chance to respond to my my concerns here. I'd be cautious about being critical of programs that seem to me smell pretty bad and look pretty horrible and are probably as bad as they look, but I want to consider the possibility that the trimming and the pretty wrapping and the fluffy exterior that is being used to sell this stuff may have some truth to it, particularly because I don't want to be misstating the matter to people who are listening on the show, or if I'm making a speech in a public place about it or writing about it. But the PACT program and the DAP program, and both the same thing, Susie confirmed that by email a couple days ago, it's an anti-homeless program designed to essentially clean out homeless people from the downtown area more efficiently and threaten them, and by forcing them to essentially give up their rights in order to avoid being jailed for a longer period of time. It's kind of similar to what they do when they jail you on a bail you can't pay. And they say, we're going to hold you on bail unless you agree to a plea bargain, even if you're not guilty. You want to get the hell out of jail. You don't want to wait for a trial. And you don't know if you're going to win anyway because you can't go around and get your witnesses. It's a rigged game. It's a stacked deck. It's pretty vicious stuff. And it's something that is happening methodically day by day as we move along. And that was Ferguson's Burning, written and sung by a guy called Ezra Furman, who published it on August 18th, 2014, 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. And apparently he published it the same day that he wrote it, August 18th. At least that's what he wrote online on YouTube, where you can find this song. You can also find the lyrics there. Pretty good lyrics. And there's a place where you can also download the show if you'd like. Now back to Food Not Bombs. at one of the Sunday weekend meal in the rain.
So what's your opinion of the food, sir, for free radio, if you wish to say?
Delicious, nutritious, and very well done, and very well served.
And you actually volunteered that yourself without being paid to say anything of that kind?
Absolutely not. I'm a bit of a health freak when I'm not drinking myself to death.
Well, that's a good thing. How did you hear about Food Not Bombs?
I've been off and on an attendee at Food Not Bomb events since the 80s in Golden Gate Park, so I just heard about them by word of mouth, I guess.
Living down here?
I'm staying down here for a couple weeks now.
What do you think? How have the police been treating you?
I have never seen a policeman.
That's good.
And I hope they haven't seen me.
And we've been talking with...
My name is Dallas.
Thanks, Dallas. I'm talking with
Max Palmer.
We're here next to the piano at the Red Church, and you said they kicked you out of everywhere last night?
Everywhere, starting at the Reds Hall, to the Civic, the library, the White Church, everywhere.
So what time was the first kick out?
Around 10:30.
And how many people were kicked out?
Everyone.
How many would you say that was?
Over 16 to 18 people.
And then where did they go? Where did you go?
Over to the Civic Auditorium.
And then what happened?
They came over there.
How soon after?
Right after. And then they ended up calling the cops and stuff.
Okay. What, this again, about what time?
Around 10:30, 10:45.
And we're talking Monday night.
Yeah.
Or rather, Sunday night.
Sunday night, yes. And there was... And the younger security of First Alarm needs to grow up. They act like little brats. That's not right.
Not bad. What about after that, after the Civic? Where do people go then?
They try to filter in the library, but the same thing. Over there, nothing. The church, the other people came to have the security, private security. So basically, they don't want no one in those areas at those spots.
Are you going back tonight?
Yeah, tonight. We're going to go probably to the sidewalk.
Keep me posted.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't get a First Alarm. They really need to grow up. The cops are even doing better than they are. A better job of First Alarm.
I believe it. And we've been talking with?
Max Palmer.
Max, Mac, I'm going to give out more flyers.
Yeah.
Working with an activist who's done a lot of work around letting people know what are real services and what are not. She distributes a thing called the free what guide? The free...
You're referring to me.
I am.
Referring to me.
Sorry. I'm getting some concerns from an anonymous individual here about the quality of the food here. He or she says that it sucks here at the church. Although I got to say, others don't say that, but I guess this person's concern is based upon the fact that, and this person cooks food himself or herself and does this kind of work, so she or he is aware of this. Also, I've heard that a person that this person knows, and I have to be anonymous about this, was told they couldn't, they weren't welcome in the Food Not Bombs kitchen working at those Joe Schultz's place where that's food that is usually prepared because they were saying something about Jesus, and that was not apparently accepted by some, and I'm concerned about that. That happened some time ago, but it's still a matter of concern. So there's a report that really wasn't too pleasant to hear, but and I wish I had the report directly from the person involved, but that person prefers to remain anonymous. So the man about bagels, Steve Plage. Hi, Steve.
Hello there.
And what's going on after Thursday this week? Because, as you know, we broadcast on Thursday night.
Well, you know, there's Earth Day in Santa Cruz is Saturday. And also there's actually a science march, a march for science. So anybody's interested in science...
By Cynthia Matthews, our former mayor.
I think that's kind of a response to Donald Trump and his lack of understanding of anything scientific. But
different views.
Anyway, yeah, so that's really what's going on for Saturday.
And where is that march start? Any ideas, any details?
I don't. You just kind of Google it or look on Facebook. I think they'll find it. But Earth Day is going to be in San Lorenzo Park, and that's starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, running all day.
That's Earth Day.
Earth Day, Santa Cruz.
And what about anything else coming up that we should know about? ACLU have anything on the agenda?
Well, we're meeting tomorrow night, but their show doesn't air until Thursday, so right. We will have already met.
What do you expect will be on the agenda?
We're talking about an endorsement of this, both the May Day. What do you want?
The May Day
action, and also the May 9 action.
And that,
so we're hoping that the ACLU is actually going to endorse it. Really endorse both of them. Holy Christ, Bob.
They're rushing
you. We're hoping that the ACLU will endorse both of those actions.
So what is this May 1st and this May 9th protest? What are these protests?
May Day is just your labor-oriented action. I think that's mostly being organized by Abby and Keith McHenry. Not really certain what's going to go on with that. May 9, as you know, is our major action in March in support of the survival sleepers, freedom sleepers, and everybody who's houseless in Santa Cruz, of which there are legion. So we're all going to... Okay, yeah. See you tomorrow at 6. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So we're hoping that the ACLU will be part of our kind of sponsoring, endorsement group. Confident they will be.
Anything coming up in the next week that you know of?
Well, it's too bad that you don't go on the air sooner. You could catch, you know, our meeting tomorrow night on the May 9 action, or the library meeting that they're having about their Houselessness series. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Indeed.
You can report on that yourself, because I'm sure you'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm likely to be there, unless I find a good movie I might want to go to.
So that's what's going on.
Now, what about your living situation, Steve? I know that you sometimes are in a perilous situation as a sometimes houseless person. Are you doing all right?
I'm doing fine. Actually, I'm living with Mel Nunes for the time being, so until something else comes up, it's very comfortable. He's a good guy to be putting me up and putting up with me.
All right. So
that's it.
Well, that's about it for today, but we'll be back in a week to get more, perhaps tomorrow, to get more queries answered.
Much more tomorrow.
And we've been listening to
Steve Plage.
Thank you, Steve. We have a report. What's up?
She's a very nice person.
That's for sure.
I like her family.
Anything happening on the streets that you say? Anything you've noticed in the last few days?
No, but love is in the air sometimes.
Yeah, it's the summer of love.
It's hard to find in Santa Cruz when you don't see too many people happy. So just try to remember to smile and keep the world clean as much as you can.
Let a smile be your umbrella, even as you get drenched, frozen, and harassed by the police. So.
Yeah, just smiling will help your neurotransmitters, and we're all like...
Will it dry off your clothes when they get soaked? That's the question.
When you let freedom ring, you can dry your clothes. You can ring them out.
You bring out your clothes.
And we just say, we love you. Santa Cruz loves everybody, and everyone's welcome to be here. This is an inclusive place.
It's a fantasy land I've never heard of. Where is this place?
This is Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, must be a different Santa Cruz. Alternate reality, alternate facts.
We enjoy all socioeconomic groups.
I see.
And religions.
Don't try sleeping at night, right?
And religions, and we encourage people to sleep, and we encourage people to have healthy neurotransmitters. And, it's a summer.
Not the snoring.
No snoring allowed, but no sleeping either. That takes care of the snoring.
Snoring is awesome.
And we've been listening to
the street minstrels.
The street wisdom or foolishness of...
Street minstrels. Okay, Julie Shaw, I said it.
And...
I can't remember.
Mr.
Forgotten
Minstrel.
His name.
I forgot my
minstrel trick. Man
my
here.
Gone
thank you,
buddy. Already.
So we're out here on a rainy Pacific Avenue, and a man heavily raincoated is underneath the Forever 21 sign playing a hand, a mouth organ, something like that.
A lot
melodica.
A harmonica?
Melodica.
A melonica. Melonica? Okay. And... And up the street we have Tamarack pounding away on his drum, as usual, but apparently in better health than before. So that's excellent. And we have a store owner, Jim of Joe's Pizza, walking his dog. Hey, Jim. And we'll leave the man with the melonica.
Hi, it's Trey. I'm a local resident of 13 years here.
And you've recently been playing this instrument.
Oh, yes, for the past 10 years. This has been my main instrument, almost roughly 10 years, 9 and a half. And it all started, I was in the Bargain Barn, over the Goodwill Bargain Barn, with my buddy David Bliss. And we used to have a drum circle in this town. And so...
Driven away.
Well, I happened to not be there that week. If I was, I might have sat in jail for 3 weeks and made $1,000 or two off Santa Cruz. But anyway, because they totally broke the law, you know, kicking them out. There was no reason to tie in someone getting shot because of a drug problem, because it happened in that vicinity.
And I guess what Trey is talking about is... is it the final demise of the downtown drum circle? I used to follow the drum circle quite closely, not because I'm a drummer or a fan of drumming, but because I'm a fan of the right to assemble publicly, and particularly the right of those less economically wealthy to assemble. And there was originally, of course, a drum circle at the farmer's market. That was about 10 years ago, and that was heavily attacked by the police under Sergeant Harms. And they then what they did was they expanded the farmer's market and essentially overran the drum circle, putting the Lulu Carpenter Mantri Srinath's coffee stand right over where the drum circle was. There was quite a battle before that expansion happened. They would come and they would ticket, and there was they called in riot police, and they put up a little fence around the drum circle area to stop it from happening. People would take down the fence every Wednesday when the drum circle was held, and then after they cemented over the area. Actually, it was a cemented area to begin with, but they expanded the farmer's market to essentially overrun the drum circle area. And it's hard to perform inside the farmer's market. You can get hassled by they look so friendly until you cross them in any way. The bureaucrats who run the farmer's market. Funa Baum sets up a table there. I think Huff has occasionally set up a table. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with. Anyway, the drum circle migrated a block to another place where the police followed and harassed, and then it migrated to the area across from the Cafe Pergolesi, and they declared that area illegal to be in unless using the Coonerty parking lot panic law, as I call it. That's Ryan Coonerty's law, which he pushed when he was on the board, the Santa Cruz City Council. He's now on the Board of Supervisors. He's part of the Coonerty family that owns the Looks Liberal, and it is, for those who are not interested in local politics, a bookshop Santa Cruz. But when you look at the Coonerty family's behavior locally, it's not liberal at all in terms of how they treat poor and homeless people. Although, I've got to say, they have had a public bathroom and has been open for 20 or 30 years. Now they have a visitor's bathroom, which is supposed to be funded by the city, but they try to keep out people they don't like, which is, to my mind, illegal. The criminal behavior on their part, or torturous behavior. Not just torture for the people who have to use the bathroom, but tortuous, meaning a tort, T-O-R-T, which is not a pastry, but a crime under civil law. Part of my spotty, occasional legal background there. Anyway, the drum circle then migrated to an area that was right next to the Soquel Bridge, and they suddenly decided that area had to be re-vegetated, and so they fenced that area off, and they put in what's called mosquito boxes to drive people away from the nearby bank area. That's a mosquito box, is a box that gives a high-pitched noise. Activist Keith McHenry has been complaining about it publicly recently in some of his writings. He has also now been doing some more extensive writing, which you can find on Santa Cruz Indie Media, and you can also find my writing and my flyers there, in case you haven't had enough of this kind of talk, just listening to it. That's Santa Cruz Indie Media at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, IndieBay.org/Santa Cruz. One word, small letters. And then the drum circle moved to the path, which was right behind Joe Schultz's India Joe's. And now apparently in the wake of a shooting along the levee, they've used that as an excuse to say you can't stand on the levee anymore, you have to keep walking. I actually haven't been up there, and I would be interesting in challenging that. I don't think that's a legitimate form of social control that at least has any justification in written law. It's just become a matter of the police can bully people, and they do. It's becoming increasingly ominous, this kind of both overreaching and arrogance by the police department and those who are directing them to be that way, and those of us who are surrendering to it. So I'll play a little more, and then we're going to have to call it an evening, because I'm running out of time. Let's hear the last of this, and then we'll go out on a song.
But anyway, so I was in the Goodwill, and I looked on the ground, and there was a little child's melodica, a five-key melodica, or it looked like a small version. So, and I remember back to once before when I was 20 years old, we brought some beer or a keg, I forgot whether it was a keg or some cases of beer, and at 1 in the morning I had a bonfire on the island I'm from in South Carolina with this girl I was in love with, Alexis, but she had a boyfriend. And we were dancing around the triple, I don't know, you're a Gemini sun sign, she was a triple Gemini, Italian with brown curls, and we're dancing around the fire, and
this inspired you to get the current instruments you're now playing?
No, a reason why I mentioned that is because Alexis had brought her melodica, and of course she just sat it down so anyone could play it, and so I played it, and I was the only other time I'd ever played one. So then I played the child's melodica I found on the ground at the Bargain Barn. They just gave it to me. I played that.
But mercifully, we're going to have to leave the melodica saga there and listen to a little more music. I'll say thanks for listening to this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. It'll be a longer one. If you could tolerate this, maybe you can tolerate that. Sunday at 9:30. You can learn more about what's going on the streets by going down to the survival sleepers at City Hall and talking to folks directly. You can sometimes learn a lot more than reading the Scent Anal or listening to the mainstream news. It's also a human interaction, which I think is an important thing. Consider supporting the survival sleepers. If you want to help in any way, give me a call. I'll give you some ideas or talk to them. That's even better. They're doing the survival sleeping. Or come up to the Freedom Sleep Out, and I'll talk more about that on Sunday. And I'll hopefully have an update on what the City Council is saying it'll be up to next Tuesday at the same time as the Freedom Sleepers begin their Freedom Sleep Out on the 25th. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.